Now, good morning. I'd like to have you read with me in John's Gospel, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. It's truly a privilege to remember the Lord Jesus here with the assembly in Jackson and all of the visitors. And while we love Spanish, it was great to remember the Lord in English. John, chapter 8, verse 29. Just read a few verses here in this chapter. Words of the Lord Jesus. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. I don't know what they were thinking. They had been in bondage in Egypt. They had been in bondage in Babylon. They were under Roman control. But this is what they said. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. That might have made them think back to Ishmael and his brother and the son and the heir and then the whole story in the book of Genesis. Verse 36, if the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I'd like to speak for just a few minutes this morning about the subject of freedom, with a goal that eventually we will come to consider the freedom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me, if you will, in verse 31, and 32, a divine process, a divine process. Number one, if you continue in my word. Now, it's not if you hear my word, if you believed my word, it's not talking just about salvation, it's talking about a lifestyle of continuing in his word. What will that lead to? Notice what comes next. Then are ye my disciples indeed. Paul was very happy to be labeled and label himself, I was a disciple of Gamaliel. This would be something for Jews to be able to have that label, that identification, who you were by the rabbi you studied under. Here he says, listen, you can have this label. You can be my disciples indeed. But then there's something else that happens at the same time. And, verse 32, there's going to be learning take place. Ye shall know the truth. And finally, what will that lead to? Once you have learned the truth shall make you free. So just to put this simply, you start with a lifestyle of continuing in the word, and then you will get the privilege of being the label of being my disciples. This is how you'll be known as my disciples. And at the same time, you'll be learning the truth, and that truth is going to take you to liberty. And so this is the divine process that you find all through the Word of God. All starts with the Scripture, abiding in His Word. And when that happens, then those two things take place in which you can be truly labeled one of His disciples. To say you're a disciple and not be abiding His Word, that's not going to happen. And at the same time, you'll discover the truth. You'll be learning the truth. And that is actually going to lead to you having liberty, freedom. But there's a problem. You can see that here. The Lord Jesus points them out. When they say, we've never been, you talk about freedom, you're implying that if we weren't free, that we could have freedom, that means we're enslaved. He says, yes, you were. In fact, you are. Because whoever commits sin is the servant or the slave to sin. You're actually people, he was saying, you're actually slaves to sin. You don't have freedom. You can't have freedom. And it's not because of the Roman government. It's because of sin. You cannot enjoy freedom. This process will not begin because you are slaves to sin. But you remember that what Isaiah wrote about the Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 61, he came to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's why he's here. And now he says, if the Son shall make you free, now you will have the opportunity to be free indeed. Remember he's talked about, you will be disciples indeed. Now he says, you have the opportunity. This is the way you can come into true freedom. How? If the Son shall make you free. He came to do that. He says he will do it. What happened? Well, you remember that verse? I think it may have been quoted this morning. Book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. To him who loved us and has freed us. Some Bible translations based on certain manuscripts have washed us. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his own blood. If the Son can make you free. If the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Now, there's been some debate about that whole thing. Is it that if the Son, him that loved us and made us free, or him that loved us and washed us from our sins, freed us from our sins, which is it? Well, I think Charles Wesley, he kind of put it all together, and so not to offend anybody, and he wrote that hymn that we sing, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. You remember that? He breaks the power of canceled sin. Freedom. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. But that's not where it ends. It goes on. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Washed, set free. I think we'll just take both, won't we, today? And here we have liberty. Freedom. If the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. So now, let's just put these two things. You have a divine provision that'll lead us to liberty. But you have this divine process that leads to freedom. You remember? If you continue my word, then you're my disciples and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, how does this work? I think you require both. So now we are all looking today, we are here celebrating that the Son has made us free. But let us never forget the divine process. That process is still available. Remain in His Word, abide in His Word, continue in His Word. You'll learn the truth. You can enjoy the label, the privilege of being called a disciple, and that will lead to freedom. But I want you to think with me now about a divine paradox, something that doesn't make sense to the human mind, especially in 2025. How could it possibly be freedom if you have to do what somebody else tells you to do? Right? You abide in His Word, and then it's His truth, and then you're free. You say, that's not freedom. That actually almost sounds like slavery. Because we live in, I think it was back in March 3rd, 1931. President Hoover, he made it official. the national anthem of the United States of America. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. How does that chorus end? That's another one, sorry. Star-Spangled Banner, how does it end? The land of the free. First Amendment rights. Freedom to assemble. Freedom of speech. What does that mean? Freedom of speech. Does that not mean I can say what I want without any fear of anybody? I can say whatever I want. And we can gather how we want. And you can print or put out in press whatever you want. Is that what freedom means? I jumped ahead because, and confused the two, because actually, when Herbert Hoover was about to sign that, before that, there was a kind of like a competition to decide what was going to be the national anthem. And there was a woman by the name of Catherine Lee Bates, and she was suffering from depression. She was a professor, and someone suggested that she take a trip out west. And she actually got a little job out west, and she traveled, went to Niagara Falls, and I'm sure it was just the U.S. side. But then she went on further west, and she went out, and she ended up in Colorado, went up to Pikes Peak. And it was when she was in Pikes Peak, it all came clear to her, and she wrote down a poem. That's what I started to quote. I jumped ahead to it. It was sung at the Super Bowl last weekend. It was last weekend? I can't remember. The third verse to that, which is rarely sung, tells me that back then when she wrote that, people understood what liberty is. Listen to what it says. Just the last part. America, America. What does it say? God mend thy every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control. Thy liberty in law. Liberty in law. Law is what tells you what you have to do. Freedom in, that can't be. That's that paradox again, you see? When we come to the Bible, one of the things we learn is this. Freedom is not what people think today. Freedom is not being able to do what you want to do, say what you want to say. Freedom is the liberty and the opportunity and the ability to do what is right, correct, and good. That is true freedom. And so what the Lord Jesus is saying in the process is, He's now made us able to where we can buy His provision. The Son shall make you free. You'll be free indeed. But what about the process? He says, if you abide in my word, you'll be my disciples and you'll learn the truth. And that's going to lead you to the ability to do what is right, correct, and good. That's freedom. You say, really, does this paradox exist in the Bible? Listen to what Paul wrote to the Romans. He said, having been set free from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. Paul just put it right out there. You're slaves to righteousness. Then he wrote four verses later, not having been set free from sin and having become slaves to God. So you try and figure this all out and you say, how can I be a slave to God and I'm free? Because with God, it's right, it's correct, and it's true. It's freedom. So that brings me now to where I really wanted to get to, the divine pattern. Can I ask you a question? Who on planet Earth has been the person who has most faithfully known the Word of God and obeyed the Word of God? be the Lord Jesus, right? So my question is, who has been the freest human being on planet Earth? Had to be the Lord Jesus. He enjoyed liberty unlike any other human being. You say, liberty? How could a man who's nailed to a cross be free? How could that be freedom? We heard it quoted this morning, that he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was nailed to a cross. How's that freedom? You remember the first verse we read today? Verse 29? I do always those things that please him. I always do what is correct, what is right, what is good, what pleases the Father. The person who does that is the freest human being on the planet. And so when the Lord Jesus appeared to be captured by the Romans, a slave, a bond slave to God, at that time I ask you on the cross, was he pleasing the Father? Was it good? Was it right? Was it correct? I sometimes wondered, I wouldn't want to take anything away from his suffering. But the thought of being in a position where you're pleasing the Father, the freedom of it all, that's what men and women were made for. He was the freest person. Brother and sister, let us never forget, he wants you to be truly free, and me too. The Son can make us free. And in the measure that we abide in his word, we're disciples. We get to know the truth. And when we live that out good, right, correct, pleasing to the Father, wherever that looks like on the outside, whether it's prison, persecution, whatever it looks like, that's true freedom. So I want to ask you today, brother, how free are you, sister? How interested are you in living a life of true freedom? It's available. What are we doing? You say, well, this freedom now, you hear people today talking about, I have freedom in Christ and I can do what I want because I have freedom in Christ. Please don't insult the Lord Jesus like that. I don't think he ever intended that we ever talk like that. Paul said, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Freedom is never to do what you want. He said, went on to say, but through love serve one another. Peter wrote, for you were called to freedom, brothers. He said the same thing. But he said we are to serve one another and serve God. You see, this is confusing. No, it's not confusing. You have to look at it and you have to say, if I became a true servant and a slave to God, living out serving others, would I be free? It may not make sense to our natural thinking, but this is what it means when we hear about living a life of faith. It's when it doesn't make sense to us naturally and everything wants to fight against it, but we say, if that's what God says, I'll trust it. It's the life to freedom. And that's why I've never, ever heard of a brother or a sister who has gone in for this process to abide in his word, be a disciple, learn truth, and live it out, who has ever come to the end of their lives said, I regret that I wasn't free. Everybody who's gone down that pathway always says the same thing. I wish I had started sooner, and I wish I had lived it more. That's freedom. That's the freedom of Christ. To be able to live, as he said, and always please the Father. I just want to share that with you for your consideration. Won't be long till we're leaving the conference. And so the question will be, hopefully there will be those who will not go home and continue living as slaves to sin. But as those of us who have been freed from sin, take a moment to think, let's just go out now, 1,000 years. Maybe we don't need to go that far. Maybe we'll just go 100 years. Actually, maybe we're going to be talking about tonight. Do this until I come. And we'll be in heaven. Will we be free? What does that mean? Will we be able for the rest of eternity to do what is right, good, correct, and pleasing to the Father? Heaven is freedom. But we can start enjoying it now. Through the Son. And through this divine process, abiding in the Word, disciples, learning truth. And you shall be free indeed. May God help us to trust His Word and to live this out and to live lives of true freedom like our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.